Hello, I'm Elizabeth Kelly, Content and Social Media Manager here at Harper's Bazaar Arabia, and welcome back to our weekly Currently Trending podcast. This week, I was joined in the studio with two ladies you're probably following on Instagram, founder of Desert Mannequin and creative consultant, Anum Bashir, and Marc Jacobs, beauty ambassador and content creator, Ria Jacobs. We sat down to relive all the wonderful moments of London, Milan and Paris Fashion Week.
Hi. We're so excited to be here.
Likewise.
So, girls, can you please give our listeners an introduction into you both?
Well, I'm Ria Jacobs. I'm an artist and a content creator based in Dubai. And my journey has just been an expression of beauty and fashion through my style and just kind of translating that, being fearless and bold. So, yeah, I mean...
Love it.
Hi, I'm Anum. I'm the founder of Desert Mannequin, host of the podcast DMFM, creative consultant based in Dubai, and I have my own clothing line that's based in Tbilisi now called Enduo. I'm really excited to be here. I have this ethos that in fashion, one shouldn't take themselves too seriously, and it's supposed to be a fun journey.
Love it. Amazing.
So kind of following off my New York Fashion Week highlights podcast that we did around Kat LaBrass and Samantha Francis, We want to talk about all things Fashion Month. So we're going to be dissecting from New London, Milan to Paris. So ladies, can I get your opinion on Victoria Beckham? 10 years of Victoria Beckham. Can I say brand Beckham?
What do you think? How powerful was that show?
Powerful.
I loved everything. It was strong. It was empowered. It kind of embodied everything that she stands for. I feel like it's been 10 years and this show showcased who she is as a person. Mm-hmm. Like I could see her, you know, strong and confident and like bold. So, yeah, I mean, that show was fantastic.
Yeah. I feel like this collection, she kind of really came into her own and she kind of felt a bit more comfortable in, you know, in her design abilities, should we say. And I think the setting was really nice, very intimate. Yeah. And of course, her front row.
I know. I was just going to comment on the front row. So
I liked the show. I didn't love the show.
Yeah.
I think it was very safely Victoria Beckham. It's what you would expect of her. It's very clean. It's very tailored. Mm. It's beautiful, elegant clothing. It's by a stylish woman, designed for stylish women, women on the go, career women. But I wanted more.
Yeah.
I really wanted more. I you know, when you reach milestones like 10 or 20 or 50, you really want like that va-voom moment when it comes to the clothes. And I did not experience that. However, with that being said, Ralph Lauren just celebrated 50 years and I was very, very fortunate enough to attend the show. And that's a show that left people in tears.
Wow.
It was incredible, not because of just the front row and the fact that I got to meet Oprah.
Wow, how is she?
Oh, like she was
powerful. Yes. I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I mean,
she's
she
ethereal.
Just had that aura. I mean, like
she
I'd
was
be
floating,
so
and then there was like Steven Spielberg, Priyanka Chopra, Kanye West, Anne Hathaway, like the most incredible people.
Yeah,
but they did in no way took away from the fact that the clothes that were coming down the runway from children to middle-aged and older models, it was so quintessentially American. It was Americana through and through, but cool, fun. Mm. It celebrated the history of this brand that we've all kind of grown up wearing.
Speaking of Ralph Lauren, where do you see the future of that brand going?
Well, I love that it's a family-run business, right? Like, David is part of it now, his son. It's a family-run business. Ralph Lauren is an institution. So just like we've seen Prada and Fendi grow to become these giant conglomerates of brands, I'm assuming or would hope that Ralph Lauren is only going to continue to rise up in the ranks. The clothes were incredible. The whole narrative behind the collection was extremely wearable, but very, very fun.
Yeah.
It was for the girl that skis. It's for the girl that vacations. It's for the girl that goes to work, goes to camp, experiences different climates. So I love that it was very democratic in that sense. It was just such a good time.
Yeah. It looks so lovely.
It was amazing.
Like, it was insane. How was the atmosphere?
I was pinching myself through and through.
Like, I bet.
We were at these little, like, party buses or little trams going through. I mean, they blocked off Central Park. That is not an easy feat in itself. And the who's who of the fashion and Hollywood world were there to, I mean, Hillary Clinton was there.
I know.
I was like, what?
I was kind of shocked by that.
Yeah.
It was remarkable. Mm. And I think it goes down as one of the most, definitely one of the most seminal memories for me, moments.
So do you think Victoria Beckham will be here in 50 years' time, the brand?
I don't know. I think yes, because of who she is and where she's positioned herself.
Exactly. I feel like she is a brand on its own. So as long as she's there, the brand will be there.
Mm. So it might get passed down to Harper. Okay. And another big debut, London Fashion Week, has to go to Riccardo Tisci's debut for Burberry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was so worried that it'd be like streetwear central.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Like the campaign was very unquintessentially British and not Burberry whatsoever.
Right. So. But Riccardo Tisci at Givenchy was amazing.
He was amazing.
I had a safe amount of hope in him at Burberry. I kind of loved the new monogram that he's created. I think it's really fresh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a traditionalist at heart, so I think it's really hard to change logos and brand identity. You know, I don't think that one single human should have the power to nix 30, 40, 50 years of history.
Simply because that's like the DNA of the brand. That's like everything. So that can be a bit risque.
But the collection was out of this world.
It was phenomenal.
Like, I want to wear Burberry again.
Yeah, I mean, the heritage.
Yeah. And it beautifully kind of showcased who he is as a person and his style with the DNA of the brand. So it was a beautiful combination of the two.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And I love the reference to Brexit with the passport.
Mm-hmm.
That's just brilliant.
It's Italian luxury and style meets the cool streets of London.
Literally. And as well, you can kind of see the cool kids of like London, because street style, you know, is so different from London to New York to Paris to Milan. I think London is so edgy, but you can definitely see those at Burberry collection on a kid in Paris, on like a beautiful woman in Milan, or going completely out there in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of really, really lovely to see.
It'll have good reach.
Yeah.
It'll have really good reach. London's also very eclectic. You know, London is an old city.
Yeah.
So there's old aristocratic money, and then there's those cool East London kids. Is it East London or West London? I'm not. It's East London, right?
I think so, East London, yeah.
Shoreditch?
I'm from the north, so I don't really know.
Shoreditch area, for those of us who aren't familiar with East or West. So London is just, it really runs the gamut in terms of style.
Yeah.
So I think it's really interesting to see how Burberry will infiltrate itself through, like, the rich elite aunties.
Yeah.
Down to, like, the cool street kids.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it'll do that really nicely.
Yeah. That was really, really interesting. And as well, kind of vibe and the models that walked the show from like Irina Shayk to Kendall Jenner, that was quite a bit of a shock.
Yeah.
Do you have any other highlights from London Fashion Week?
Regina Pio for me. So
ooh.
I love her. And I think she has an aesthetic that is, again, extremely feminine for women, by women. She's a London-based brand. So I love the fact that, you know, she's getting a lot of insider support from really cool people like Pandora Sykes, even Leandra Medine, some really interesting women wear her. She's just really beautiful, easy clothing. And I love that she's a newer brand. So she's, you know, well represented globally in terms of retail. And yeah, she's cool. She like does it herself. She's had a kid. Like I like the story.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like the kind of, I think nowadays people are more buying into story and someone's background as opposed
now
to.
Now it's all about who you are and how you incorporate that into the essence of the brand. I mean, that's what everyone's doing and that's how you do it right, I feel, because that's what fashion is. It's an expression of who you are and
exactly, creating conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a point I would like to make. I'd like your opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the rise of the Insta it girls kind of dominating fashion weeks and the runway? So you've got Kaia Gerber, you've got Kendall, you've got Bella, you've now got Emily Ratajkowski.
That's right.
You know, she walked, I think, in two shows or a few shows.
She walked in a few. She walked in Dolce. Yeah. She walked in
Versace.
Versace,
And I think, you know, what do you think of these girls? Yes, they are beautiful, but they're not kind of your typical model that we saw.
Don't you feel that's the time that we live in now? Because everyone wants to know the story behind the girl. Like now, if I tune into a show, I want to know who that girl is, what she does, where she is. Yeah. Yes, it takes away from your, say, Tyra Banks or like that kind of power is kind of lost. But I truly feel that for the time that we are in now, social media is everything. I mean, brands are turning into social media for every single point. I mean, shows are going live.
Yeah.
You can instantly go and take clothes off the, you know.
Literally. Exactly. See now, buy now. So yeah, yeah.
It would be very unfair to say that, oh, like we don't have the power of like the supermodels, but that time has passed. I mean, now it's about who's who and your Instagram and knowing your story. So,
yeah. But I think they're supermodels unto themselves though. Yeah.
Like, absolutely.
You know, Kaya is Cindy Crawford's daughter.
And she's gorgeous. Right. Have you seen her walk?
And Kendall Jenner always talked about wanting to become a model. Like that was her career goal. You know, Gigi Bella, I think they're models that have become
Insta like
it girls.
You can't take away from the fact that they're gorgeous. They're supermodels of this time. That's what we have to understand, you know?
It's an evolution of the industry.
So it's not like, oh, it's an Insta girl. No, she's a model who has a huge following on social media and she's created this image of her own. And that's the time that we live in now.
Like when I hear Insta it girl, I'm thinking more like social influencers.
Like influencers, exactly.
I would never classify them as Instagram it girls.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's interesting.
Yeah. They're models.
Yeah.
They're career professional models.
Models.
Yeah. Yeah. And brands turn to them because they have such a massive social reach. That
which is a byproduct.
And it just helps. Exactly.
That's a byproduct of our time.
It's just a gradual evolution of what a supermodel should be nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, you saw the likes of Kate Moss and they were on the cover
Naomi Campbell.
Exactly, on the cover of every print magazine. Yeah. And kind of going to parties here, they're everywhere.
But even they have huge Instagram followings. So.
Exactly.
And like nowadays, you kind of can't, if there's a party, it's on Instagram stories, it's on Snapchat. So it's kind of bringing
Well, you know, if it was not, if it's not on Instagram, it never happens.
It never happens.
Exactly.
That's what some people say. It's like the modern day autograph of sorts. Like if it wasn't on Instagram, it never happened.
Exactly. That's really, I like that phrase actually. Mm-hmm.
But I think there's something really cool about being elusive. And I've said this time and time again, maybe because I'm using that as an excuse. Cause I'm not someone that shares every waking moment of her life on social media.
Neither do I. No. Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, is it necessary to share every 5 minutes of your existence on social media? I understand it's, you know, garnering a lot more engagement and likes and following and whatnot. But I don't know. I think there's something cool about being somewhat mysterious.
I agree.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I agree with it. But the truth is, like in the earlier days, fashion was what all these Harper's and Vogue, and it's what they told you it was. But now everyone has an understanding of fashion. Mm-hmm. They have their own opinions.
Yes.
And they want to evaluate it for themselves. So right now, if I see a show, I need to be like, I need to like it. It is not because you're showcasing it to me.
Yeah.
And that comes through social media because I follow a girl. I see her work. I'm like, oh, she likes it and she looks a lot like me. So probably I like it too.
Yeah.
So it's just about that. Like we need to be involved now. It can't be that space that was there like a long time ago.
I mean, kind of force fed what you must like and what you should like and trends you should wear. Because I think it's so nice now to see luxury brands mixed with high street brands.
Absolutely. Right. I love that.
Hi-Lo is awesome.
I love that.
Hi-Lo is awesome. And I think people are also extremely emancipated from the opinion of the powerhouse, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're no longer like, oh, if it's in Vogue, it must be great.
Exactly.
Right?
That's exactly what
And you
what
have
I mean.
The rise of accounts or people like Diet Prada, for example, that are taking me to that.
Oh my god!
I mean, I think they've kind of teetered on the edge of becoming like cyberbullies.
Yeah, trolls.
So
yeah,
I think, you know, I think there needs to be a fine line between calling people out and saying it like it is and just being mean.
Yeah.
Because I think gone are the days of being mean, the icy editor, no one really cares for that anymore. But people are emancipated and people have their own opinion. So.
And I like that because at the end of the day, your style should be an explanation of who you are as a person. It's not just, oh, I saw it on Vogue, so now I'm going to do the exact same thing. So it's a beautiful time that we're in and we need to embrace it.
Yeah, completely agree. And I think as well, kind of lean on to Milan Fashion Week here, mm-hmm. we saw kind of the feature of headscarves and a bit more kind of modest fashion.
I love that.
It's beautiful. I'm like Max Mara. And, you know...
But I find headscarves really Italian too.
Very.
Right?
Yeah.
Like I don't think it was a deliberate let's cater to the Middle Eastern or modest
yes.
woman.
It's just a beautiful coincidence.
I just think that it also happens to be deeply entrenched in European culture, like women in Russia, women in Italy. Mm. They wear scarves. They wear beautiful silk scarves. And it's more of an accessory and it's more of a stylistic choice rather than a cultural or religious adherence of sorts.
But I like it when it's that way because if a hijabi sees that, she's like, okay, so it's not like, oh, they're trying to cater to me. It's just a part of it. Mm. And I feel included and I can use that option. Mm. So can my friend who like...
Isn't.
Yeah.
It's democratic for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's kind of like styling as well as styling techniques. And I feel like you have to have that kind of certain edge and kind of appearance to pull it off.
Mm-hmm. Or just be on a fabulous vacation somewhere with like a kaftan and like a headscarf on.
And with like really big sunglasses.
Oh my God. And your earrings.
Yes. It's just like, real. Let's just have
Real. It's like, it's a look, right? Absolutely. So it's a look. And it's a look that might not be for everybody, but it's definitely a look.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think as well, kind of touching upon modesty, there was a massive kind of recent kind of news piece around the Modis UAE homegrown luxury e-tailer. It's a partnership with Global Farfetch. Mm-hmm. And the kind of the aim to promote modest fashion globally and promote kind of exclusivity globally. What do you think of this?
I think it's honestly so empowering because they as a brand know how to cater to women who are like, modest, you know, and with Farfetch, they have this global influence. So it's like a beautiful combination of the two. So the brand understands how to cater to them. Mm. And Farfetch has the influence that is needed to take this brand to every corner of the world. So I think it's fantastic.
I think as well, kind of the Modist, they kind of really promote diversity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Size, age, you know, if you're petite, if
they're
you're
very
tall.
Inclusive. Uh-huh.
So inclusive. Yeah. And I think with Farfetch, that's a massive global kind of footprint and reach now that the team here are going to kind of fly with.
It's great for them as a brand and for Farfetch.
Yeah.
Like they both need it.
I mean, they had that little niche, right? Yes. In terms of capitalizing on a... Yeah. On a modest or a more is more, or let's cover up, I don't know, genre. And I think the Modis fills that in so beautifully.
Yes.
I mean, I adore Ghislaine much.
Yes.
She's wonderful. Mm. She's charming. She's relatable.
Yeah.
And she gets the job done.
Yeah, so literally.
I think
complete
from that,
boss woman.
From that, she's a complete boss woman. Yeah. So I think from that point of view, like, hats off to her.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very sensible, I think, partnership. It's a partnership that makes a lot of sense. Mm. And I know that Farfetch, you know, is also lucky to have them.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a unilateral.
Exactly.
Completely
it's great kind
of,
for
you know,
yeah.
So I think it's made for, if you're looking at from both sides of the barrel, they're looking to expand their retailer relations in this part of the world. Farfetch has just launched in the Middle East. They have a presence here. So it only makes sense for them to want to tap into credible, legitimate retail channels that have a story to tell. And I think the Modis does that.
Yeah. And they have
really
such a great, powerful female team. It kind of really, really helps.
Absolutely.
Tell the story.
Yeah.
About diversity. What did you think of the Dolce & Gabbana show? Because our very own Sheikha Diana Al Khalifa made her debut, which was beautiful.
She looked stunning.
She looked amazing. And obviously we had a lot of ages,
sizes
walking that show. And I think, let's forget about, you know, the social media
storm. That's another podcast.
Let's forget about everything Diet Prada says about Dolce & Gabbana. Listen, Dolce & Gabbana is a quintessential heritage Italian brand. Mm-hmm. They're fun. They make a woman feel like she's permanently on vacation. Mm. It's for the woman who isn't afraid of really going all out, being decked in floral. As far as Donna walking the show, Donna's a dear friend, and I adore anything that she does, whether it's through the overdressed or her jewelry pavilion at the Bahrain Jewelry Show. I think she single-handedly knocked out so many Arab, Muslim, Khaliji royal stereotypes that might exist in the West. She just walked down that runway and it was in 2.5 or 3 minutes that it took her to walk the runway, obliterated all those stereotypes.
Yeah.
And that's what I love. You know, she's extremely, she's always been extremely pioneering in the way she's carried herself, the people she's aligned herself with. She's just a really nice person too. So to, for me, it was like my friend did something huge.
That's so lovely to hear.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't even know her, but it felt like it was my like my friend out there. And yeah. it felt so empowering to see someone like us be in that place and completely inspire. Mm. I mean, them as a brand, they're all about making men and ladies feel amazing about yes. themselves, and it's about no shape, no size, no color. It's just about embracing who you are and just having fun. I mean, that's what the brand is about.
They're one of the only brands that really do cater for everyone.
Absolutely.
I think they actually run a bigger size range than a lot of brands, and it's so refreshing and it's so lovely to see like Ashley Graham walk the runway.
I love that.
Yeah. You know, she worked at Michael Kors as well. But they really do champion diversity as a brand. Mm. And as well, their front row was lined with their consumers. Mm-hmm. It was people who actually buy the clothes.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of brands are doing that now. Yeah. So Fendi does that as well. They love having their VIP or the women that or men that continue to buy into the brand every single year.
Yeah.
Be a large part of that experience by putting them front row. Mm. Going back to the diversity subject that you touched, I think it's very indicative of Italian culture in general. Yeah. It's very like, mamma mia, like everyone's awesome and everyone's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Italian culture discriminates against size and color. And, you know, like there's some very dark Italians. There's some very light Italians. And it's, I don't know, the culture is very much about life's a big party.
Exactly. So having fun.
Yeah, just have fun.
It's about having a good time and feeling good. That's what
it's okay to eat pasta.
Yeah.
And lots of it.
So moving on to Paris Fashion Week, we have to just talk about it firstly, get out of the way with Celine. What did you think?
I think he's a guy that's taken so many bullets in the industry and still is standing. So I give him a lot of credit for that. He's very unapologetic. He continues to do the Eddie Slimane thing. But that being said, I was very disappointed in Celine. It's like they almost didn't care about all the existing Phoebe Philo fans that are out there. I don't think he cared to carry over any of her DNA or her aesthetic, which I think is quite arrogant in a way. I think he's a very arrogant designer, but he knows what he does and he just continues to do it. He did it at Saint Laurent.
And it sold.
It sold very well. He doubled sales. Mm-hmm. I was reading up on his statistics. But I'm someone that I think faults LVMH more for this decision than I do him. Mm. He's a designer. He's going to do what he knows, what he loves. Mm.
See, that's what I think. With him, it was just an expression of who he is as a designer rather than the brand and the essence of the brand and the kind of story that it's told so far. This was very young, very rock and roll chic.
It was Saint Laurent.
It was.
There was actual copy.
There were a lot of replicas. Photos, and it's just like
side by side. Mm.
And I just feel like it was his step of just doing his thing. And
but this is the question that I kind of posed to myself after looking at the show was, when you're that high up and you're a creative director and you're at the helm of a major brand. Is it okay to ignore everything? Like, I'm sure you're handed over a brief, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when we all start jobs, we're handed over this brief.
Like, and don't cross book. The line.
No one has carte blanche for anything in life. Right. So I just want to understand or maybe get a sense of how you guys feel. Is it okay to chuck the brief in the garbage and do whatever you want to do?
Yeah.
With a brand?
Look, I feel if it works, it makes a lot of sense because it gives you a fresh idea, a fresh look at the brand. But with this, it's just that Celine has such history. Like, as soon as I think of Celine, I have like an image in my head already.
Yeah.
And this completely went against it.
Yeah.
So probably we're just uncomfortable with this drastic change and we're not acceptant of this new image, this new age of Celine. Probably it's that. But I think only time will tell.
Mm. But do you think he's a one-trick pony?
Yes. I think he knows what he does and he likes what he does.
Yeah.
And even the model casting, like, it's just so
I mean, that was something that I was really upset about because it was most of them were just white and
they also looked like they needed a burger.
Yeah.
And
it's too thin.
We're at a time now where we need to embrace different girls, shapes, sizes, color, and a lot of people are doing it. So you need to jump on that train like now, you know?
And it is very alienating. I mean, I'm a diehard Celine fan.
Yes, exactly. I mean, that's why it's so upsetting.
I would never have noticed.
I
have purchased more Celine than I can afford, you know, since Phoebe Philo took at the helm of Celine. Mm-hmm. I remember when I got my first real big girl job out of college, I went and bought myself a Celine bag with my first paycheck.
Yes.
So Celine for me runs deep. You know, my mother loves Celine. My mom's a physician. So it's that very understated, quiet elegance about a very confident woman. Mm-hmm. And see, for me, Celine was like the quintessential modest brand.
Yeah.
It was drapey. True. It was beautiful. Yeah. It was relaxed. It was tailored. Mm. And to see a collection come down the runway where I can barely, as a woman who is curvy and has, you know, hips and a bust, I can't associate or relate to half the things that came down the runway.
See, that's the thing. It was so new. Like everything was new. And you're just like, where is the essence?
Yeah. It was kind of like party.
Yeah,
very rock and roll. And,
with like bad kids.
Yeah,
they're gonna influence you wrongly.
Yeah,
and get you in trouble with your parents.
Yeah. And that's not okay.
Like, those are the kids you gotta.
Yeah. So do you think Claire at Givenchy has fulfilled this?
I loved it.
Whole.
I loved that show. Scene.
This is probably my favorite season.
Yeah.
By far.
She did a great job. I loved her at Chloe as well, but I absolutely adore Natasha Ramsey Levi at Chloe now.
Yeah.
Chloe was one of my favorite collections.
It was a really, really nice collection.
So fun, colorful, wearable. Just, it's for the girl that, again, is very like
whimsical,
sure of herself. Yeah. I loved Chloe. It was a great collection. Yeah. And then Jacquemus, of course.
Oh.
With those oversized bags.
Absolute dream collection. I really, really, really like that collection, actually. Like, I would never probably wear.
Like half of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like skimpy beyond imagination, but it's just gorgeous.
Did you happen to see Virgil Abloh's Off-White?
Mm-hmm. Loved it.
I'm a huge Virgil fan anyway. And
he is doing amazing things. And I love this new kind of empowered state that we're in to see him head such a beautiful brand. And,
luxury athleisure.
Yes,
that the dresses.
I mean, it's not even my style, but I love it.
Yeah. I feel like he makes everything so accessible as well. Mm-hmm. And he really embodies kind of cultural references.
Yes.
And he just goes for it.
Except for the price point.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how acceptable
until you're at the cashier and you're like, this is a $400 t-shirt.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah. It's a discount code with this.
Yeah.
Thanks to his massive support system.
Yes.
With, like, so far, you know, our October cover star, Bella Hadid, to such huge sporting influences like Serena Williams.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's going to just go from strength to strength, and he's such a firm favorite with Street style lovers as well.
But even what he's doing at Louis Vuitton is just, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
A great example of someone coming to the helm of a brand and taking brand DNA, infusing their own, and creating something really, really nice.
Yeah, no
right?
With him and with Claire even, they've beautifully merged their style and the brand history and what it stands for. So I feel that's how you should do it, where you showcase who you are, but at the same time, you don't lose sight of the brand.
Yeah, 1,000,000%.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be done, and I wish... I'm not going to say anything.
He who shall not be named anymore.
Like Voldemort.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Already kind of on social media, people are going in.
No, people are brutal. I mean, the things that, the memes that have been out, it's...
But I want to say it wasn't a bad collection.
Yes, it wasn't.
It's a beautiful collection.
It was just
not Celine.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, that polka dotted...
I think they should just give him his own brand and call it a day, you know?
Yeah.
Stick to your lane, buddy. This is what you do great. You know, he did a great job at Saint Laurent. He doubled sales. Perhaps that aesthetic was what Saint Laurent had needed.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Phoebe Philoites are just they're so much more sophisticated. See, and they're not going to let this go.
Yeah.
It's like a drastic change.
What do you think of Balenciaga? Because Balenciaga and Louis Vuitton have gone down this massive digital, intergalactic, sci-fi. Mm-hmm.
I loved Balenciaga.
Yeah.
That like tunnel of coolness, like that
all video
blue.
Wasn't it?
And,
yeah.
I like that brands are kind of appealing to us now, and they understand that it's time to kind of take into mind that we're in an age of social media and like the youth, and you need to kind of embrace it. I mean, even the trousers, it was like a track pant trouser. Yeah. I was like, wow, I would so like sport that. So it's really amazing to see that.
And Balenciaga always creates conversation.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know, whether it's kind of like an ugly sneaker or like an ugly shoe, or like the Croc,
which are perennially sold out. Right?
No.
The triple S. Yeah. They're always sold out. Yeah. The Crocs. Like, but what I love about Demna is, again, it's experiment gone right versus experiment gone wrong. And he explores those shapes, those really sharp edges, that oversized kind of shoulder, which just looks really cool.
And
like women
works.
Want to look like that.
Absolutely.
You know,
and it works.
And having been to Georgia and having been to Tbilisi and being very kind of in tune, I've tried my best to dial into that frequency of the way people dress there, the aesthetic. It's this really cool subculture that exists in Tbilisi. It's very underground. It's post-Soviet Union. So people are really coming out into their own. You know, parents have raised children that haven't been exposed to Soviet culture as much, but they're very closely positioned to Russia. And so you're seeing this like melting pot of idea, identity, people are trying to break from the molds. And I think like through Balenciaga, Demna's like kind of putting that to the forefront, you know?
I think the perfect brand as well to kind of do it with.
Absolutely.
Really makes really kind of stamp in his mark. Was there any kind of notable beauty trends that you saw that you kind of think, oh, like the glitter or?
Valentino. Mm. The eye makeup at Valentino with like the crystals, and I could see you rocking that.
Right?
Yeah.
Like this season.
Over here.
I'm not going to talk about makeup anymore because Rhea's in the room. Yeah.
No, but honestly, I feel like it's a beautiful showcase of, I mean, this whole season has been, they've had styles that everyone can kind of seek inspiration from. Like we had our clear, fresh, dewy skin with like flushed cheeks, but at the same time, like we had strong eyeliner and like a really strong lip.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that people can kind of see and go like, oh, that could work for me. Mm. So I think it's a very beautiful, you know,
time. I think
as well,
kind of tone it down. I think one of the things I really liked was the beach hair at Chanel.
Mm. Oh my God, that was beautiful.
Oh, we didn't talk about Chanel.
Yeah.
One of my favorite collections.
I loved it.
To date.
Literally, how good was that collection?
I know. It was
unbelievable. I mean, everything worked. Even like the way it was showcased. And I thought it was a beach. And then I was just like, wait, what? Is that a pool?
It was a beach. And they came out barefoot and they had the shoes in their hands.
Yeah.
And then they came around a boardwalk and then threw their shoes back on.
Yeah. It just looked so much fun. And I think as well, you know, all the bags, it was total bag envy there.
It was amazing. The double bag plot. It was just, the 90s are back, guys.
Literally, guys. You know, the earrings and kind of the branding was just so, so lovely. And obviously not everyone can afford Chanel, but you can tell the likes of like fast fashion giants are going to be obviously emulating certain aspects of.
Oh, they're going to be all over that.
Yeah.
The Zaras and the Mangoes.
Mm-hmm. But I wasn't naming names, but okay.
Are we not allowed to?
Definitely.
So, yeah.
Okay, ladies, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening, and don't forget to check back next week for another episode of Currently Trending. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Anchor, and Google Podcasts.